we're going to start with our beginning and opening text of Scripture. So thankful for God's Word. Where would we be without God's Word? Well, number one, we'd be lost. Without hope, without God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So thank God that He has given us His Word, whereby we can be saved and our lives can be transformed from what they used to be to what He created them for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Praise our God. Hallelujah. You can be seated again this morning. I want to simply preach on the conquering cross. Hallelujah. The conquering cross. As we look back and reminisce, as we have read the Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've read the Gospels in the Word of God, and we've read about the account of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, dying for the sins of all the world, the whole world, anybody, everybody. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He was the final sacrifice. He was the only spotless sacrifice. He was the only man that was worthy to redeem man. Why? Because he was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. And the Bible declares he was tempted in all points as you and I are. We forget that sometimes. He was tempted in all points as you and I are. Yet he was without sin. That means he conquered. He overcame. He did what was right. He was righteous, even as the Son of Man. As the Son of God, he was righteous also. Hallelujah. So we've got to understand the two phases that Jesus Christ and how he walked on the face of this earth. So now we're into the gospel being preached, and Paul writing to the church at Galatia and writing to them so they be not deceived. Isn't it sad that there are deceivers out there in the name of Jesus? Jesus Christ himself told his disciples some of the signs of the last days. He said, "Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many." I used to think that that meant that men would come and say that they were the Christ. But as you begin to study that a little bit further, he was saying, many are going to come, they're going to believe that I'm the Christ, but they're still going to deceive people. And so Paul's writing, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So Paul is reminding them, if you're going to live after the flesh, you're going to find some problems. You're going to find some destruction. You're going to find some difficulties. You're going to find trouble. Surely we've all understood, been told, have even spoken it ourselves, you reap what you sow. A lot of people have asked me, is this the judgment of God on America? And I said, I don't think it's really the judgment of God, because it's really going way too easy for when God begins to judge sin. Now what we're seeing is man reaping what he has sown. Man reaping his rejection of God. Man reaping his rejection of Jesus Christ. Man reaping from following after the religion of secular humanism. Man reaping from going to a socialistic mind. Man reaping from men going to a communistic mind. The mind frame of America is very debauched. Very evil, very sad, very grieving to the reality of what we could have, what we could be when God was on his throne in America. Go back and do a little study in history. You'll find that America had a turning point in 1948. The Supreme Court took the high seat, if you will, and said we will no longer use the Bible as a source of what is right or wrong. We will no more make judgments based on Judeo-Christianity principles. What else are you going to base them on? From that point forward, remember what the Bible says about a nation that forgets God? Not everybody in America was on board with that. Christians weren't on board with that. But somebody sitting in a high seat was. And the decree was made and the law was given. Did they enforce it immediately? No, that's just the way they operate. They get it written down, and then they pull it up on you later. We got a lot of things sitting in law right now, church, that's been written. We have no idea that it's been written, and we have no idea what it's going to do to us as Christians. When they're ready to pull it out and say, oh yeah, this has been on the books for years. Now, that's just a freebie there about reaping and sowing. As a child of God, catch that, as a child of God, we've got to be careful what we sow to. We got to be careful what we follow, who we follow, and what we really live for. Brother Jason preached a message just a few weeks ago about the proper motivation. Why do you do what you do? That's the most important question anybody can ask themselves. Why do I do this? Why do I live this way? Why do I act this way? Because when you get the proper motivation, you can act wonderful ways, righteous ways, glorious ways, hallelujah, holy ways, with the proper motivation, hallelujah, and glory to God. So Paul is writing here, says, don't be deceived. You cannot live in sin and not reap the results of sin. That's what he's talking about. You can't live after the fleshly side. And of course, he's dealing with the Judaizers and circumcision here, and there's a reference to that, but the reference is far deeper than that in what he's writing here. We've got to make sure that we are living after that new creature that God has created inside of us, at that born-again experience, that new creature that loves God, desires God, wants to do everything God would want to do, that new creature in Jesus Christ. That has been birthed there at that born-again experience. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus was very emphatic. You must be born again. The Christian life without being born again is none other than a drudgery and a following of rules. Did you catch that? But the Christian life of a born-again experience and a new creature created in Jesus Christ is ecstatic, exciting, wonderful, full of joy unspeakable, and full of glory. And it's the greatest thing in the whole wide world that you could ever have, a personal relationship with the Son of God, the Father in heaven, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, changing your life on a daily basis. Woo, hallelujah. That's Christianity. Glory to God. That's sowing to the Spirit. That's sowing into righteousness, sowing into God's kingdom. That is pursuing everything God has for that born-again believer, that believer in Jesus Christ, that follower of Jesus Christ. Verse number 14, this is where I'm going to get to. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Not going to glory in what I have done for God. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to glory because I'm a Jew. I was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. If he had anything to brag about, anything to boast about, as far as the law was concerned, he was perfect. He was blameless. There couldn't be anybody doing it any better than he was. Said, I'm not going to glory in how well I did as a Pharisee, how well I did as a following Judaism and following God by the law. I'm not going to glory in what I'm doing, but I'm going to glory in what Jesus Christ has done. Woo, hallelujah. I glory in the cross and the cross alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. But notice that he moves on. He says, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Why do I live the way that I live? Because I glory in the cross. I glory in my Christ. I glory in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. And the world has been crucified unto me. The way that I used to live, I want it no longer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now I live unto Christ, for that is who I want, that is who I long for, that is who I will die for. Wow. Glory to the King. The conquering cross is what I'm sharing here. That new creature glories in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Calvary. Hallelujah. I mean, just the reality we're saved by faith and not of works, lest we should boast. See, you know the scriptures, don't you? Then why is it so many times as Christians we start looking on how well we're living to judge our spirituality instead of how well we're surrendering to judge our spirituality? I was pondering on this morning, and you may disagree with me, and this may really throw you for a loop. But if a person's an adulterer and they quit committing adultery, that doesn't mean they're saved. Did you catch that? Makes no difference how much stuff you quit doing. That's not what brings salvation to an individual. And please don't misunderstand me. You get saved, you're going to quit doing. Yeah. But just quitting something does not save somebody. What saves people is when they surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They surrender to the decree that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a matter of one, two, three, or four. It's a matter of your nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what I have to realize is who I am. How I was born. And how desperately I need a Savior to set me free from the bondage of sin. Hallelujah. There's no rule or regulation. I mean, the law talks about sin and the disobedience to God's word is sin and all that. But the reality is, I've got to go to the root of the problem. I was born in sin. I have no power over sin. And the power that I need is the power of the cross.
that conquering cross to where that world becomes crucified to me. I no longer want it. Hallelujah. I want the kingdom of God, and I want the Savior, and I want God the Father. I want to be filled with the Spirit of the God. I want everything God has for me in His glorious plan of salvation. But it all starts at the cross. It all starts at that cross. A.W. Tozer said, a man who is always on the cross just one piece at a time cannot be happy in that process. But when that man takes his place on the cross with Jesus Christ once and for all and commends his spirit to God and lets go of everything and ceases to defend himself, he has died. But there is a resurrection that follows. What is that? That's that born again, washed in the blood experience with Jesus Christ when I quit trying to justify myself. When I quit trying to defend. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I just preached about it, I think it was last Sunday, of Adam and Eve. You know, when God asked Adam, why'd you eat of that tree? And he said, the woman. And the woman, he asked the woman, why did you eat? The serpent. And defending myself. You remember when Saul of Tarsus met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he did no longer defend himself. He said, who art thou, Lord? He didn't start saying, but Lord, I'm doing this for you. Lord, I'm doing this for my God. He quit defending himself because he immediately, when he was in the presence of God, knew he was wrong. Don't you wish you could always act that humble when you know you're wrong? Get in the presence of God and you will. You know why some people don't want to enter into worship in the presence of God? Because they know they're wrong. And they know when they get there, he's going to amplify the reality of how wrong they're being. Woo. And thus, they don't want to go there. They don't mind watching everybody else go there. They don't want to go there because they know what awaits there. The glory and the presence of a holy God that reminds us of who we are and what he's asked us to do. Praise our God. So it's a matter of not defending myself so I can die, so that I can have that new creature, that resurrection that follows. Now, Jesus spoke in Matthew 7:13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Have you ever wondered why he shared that? And why he made the statement, few there be that find it? It's not because the gate's not there. It's just a straight gate. And that word straight kind of gives, and they depicted this in the film of Pilgrim's Progress. It just means there are so many voices that are telling you, that's not the gate. That's not the gate. You need that other gate over there. That wide gate where everybody can go in. See, Jesus said it's the straight gate and it's the narrow way because it's a way that's not going to bring a good rapport with the world. It's not going to bring everybody joy that's not wanting that gate. And thus, when you choose that straight gate, for it is the only gate that leads to life. See, this is the understanding. A lot of people come to the straight gate and they'll look at everybody that's living around it trying to persuade them not to go that way. And they'll walk up to that gate, and everybody's telling them, no, you don't want to go in that gate. That gate there, that's where all them people, you know, that are self-righteous and self-proclaimed holiness, and that's where they're at. You don't want to go in that gate. You want to go to that other gate over there. That wide gate. Everybody goes in that gate. Everybody's doing it. I'm thankful that I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm just worried about what God's doing. And Lord, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. And Lord, if it's the street gate, and that's where Pilgrim was, that's where Christian was, he wanted to go to the gate that was going to get him to that celestial city. He didn't care how hard it was to get to the gate, and then he didn't care how hard it was to go through the gate and whatever he had to face after the gate, because he wanted to be in the celestial city. Hallelujah. He wanted to be with God. And so Jesus tells us that the few there be that find it. There's only going to be a few that want to go in that gate. There's only going to be a few that surrender to the pulling of the Spirit of God compared to the vast numbers that Jesus Christ died for. For he died for the whole world. He died for the whole world. But as we look at the world today, do we see the world wanting salvation? All we see the world wanting right now is a flu vaccine. They don't care what they have to take with it. That's all we see right now as far as the world goes. They're looking for a flu vaccine, and if they have to take a chip in their head or in their hand to get the flu vaccine, they're going to do it. That's what they're looking for. I just read an article yesterday. There's a hospital and some doctors in Florida that have been doctoring coronavirus ever since April with a 96.9% recovery rate, no matter who they were, how sick they were before they got it, or how old they were. And I couldn't give you all the medical terminologies, but there was like four different medicines they were administrating to them. You know, all these medicines that they tell you you can't have or you can't find or that won't work. It's kind of like the straight gate and the wide gate. But they just went ahead and administered them, and all their people recovered except just for a few. And it didn't make any difference what their age was, how sick they were before. It's just simple medications that were very cheap. But it wasn't expensive medication. You can't get some of them, you know, now. They won't give them to you. But we don't need a vaccine for the coronavirus. There's already things that work fine. Okay, they're not looking for Jesus, are they? They're not looking for righteousness, are they? They're looking for their own agenda in this world. Praise God, I'm glad I'm not of this world. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm not really glad I have to live here right now. I'd just soon be in heaven, to be honest with you. Praise the Lord. But I am in this world. I have to live in this world, but praise God, I do not have to be of this world. I can be of that kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I entered in the straight gate. I thank God that the narrow way, the Lord has strengthened me all the way through it. That's what He's after. He wants to make us strong. Hallelujah. Strong in our faith. Strong in our convictions. Strong in our dedication. Strong in our commitments. God will treat us without pity because He desires to raise us without measure, just as He did His own Son on the cross. Please don't misunderstand me. I've been there myself. Lord, why is this happening to me? And we're wanting pity. And God's not going to give it. What He's going to give us is faith, confidence, courage, surrender to make us strong in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Not in the fact that everything goes well with me. But as long as everything is well with Him and me. Hallelujah. That's what God is after. Building in us, because that's the way to life. Hallelujah. The natural man has a tendency to seek the path of least resistance. The path of the world is that wide gate, that broad gate that we need to turn away from. The new creature, created in Jesus Christ, takes me to the path of the cross that leads to life. See, no mere mortal man will want to take the path of the cross. Tell me, would you want to go to the cross and die? Just in mere human nature, even compassionate people won't go that far for you. But the path of the cross brings a death to self. And you are actually really ready to give your life for everybody else. Not physically, but as a servant. Sister Pepper was sharing as we started this service. That cross is that straight gate, that narrow way. It's the path that leads to life. When we started evangelizing, we made some cards, and we put on that evangelistic card, the path of the cross leads to life. It is the only path that leads to life. In James chapter 4, verse number 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hallelujah. I didn't know what the Sunday school lesson was about this morning until I stepped through those doors coming out of that gymnasium and I started hearing a little bit about what the Sunday school class was about. I thought, wow, God's so good. He's so wonderful. He wants us to understand humility is where it's at. And when I will humble myself, then he will lift me up. He will make me strong, and I will be more than a conqueror. You see, because it's the conquering cross. Hallelujah. That road of humility, that denying oneself, taking up their cross and following Jesus Christ, that is the path of life. Hallelujah. In other words, submitting ourselves to God. That means whatever God asks, that's what I will do. Submitting myself to God. Why do I have to resist the devil? Because the devil is telling me everything to do that God doesn't want me to do. The devil is trying to lead me away from the truth of God. The devil doesn't want me walking the path of the cross because he knows the power that lies therein, and he has no hold on those who have put themselves on that cross with Jesus Christ to die out to this world. Tell me, what's the devil going to have on somebody that doesn't want anything to do with this world? His whole temptation rests upon the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. His only inroad into your life, my life, anybody's life on the face of this earth is through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If we are leaving those things behind and surrendering ourselves to God, there's no room for him. Brother Joey Yates preached a message many years ago now. It's probably about 15 years ago. Give the devil no quarta. And of course, he was just saying, give the devil no place. Don't give him any place in your mind. Don't give him any place in your heart. Fill it with Jesus. Hallelujah. And when it's full of Jesus, he ain't got nowhere to come. He ain't got anything to say because you're listening to Jesus Christ. You ain't listening to him anymore. Praise our God. Sometimes we're not wise to that. We've got to be wise. Be not deceived. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. So, wow, wisdom says, okay, let's sow the right things. Let's go the right way. Let's do the right thing. Hallelujah. Let's submit ourselves to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Let's draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh unto us. And in this process, he will show us things he wants us to do. Yeah. To cleanse our hands and to purify our hearts and to quit being double-minded. What is double-minded? Well, double-minded is when I'm in church I'll do what everybody else is doing. But when I'm not in church, I'll do what I want to do. That's double-mindedness. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's that mean? He cannot be trusted. She cannot be trusted. If you live one way in church and another way outside of church, I don't think that's God's plan of salvation. I think God's plan of salvation is the transformation of my life. Everywhere. Everywhere. And especially when I'm out there. Hallelujah. To live holy, to live righteous, to live pure, to live godly. What is that? Being humble before the Lord. Humble. What is that? Submitting myself to God. When I'm submitting to God, I am automatically resisting the devil. See, this, and I got to get this right. I can't just get bullheaded and say, all right, devil, I'm resisting you. I'm resisting you. I'm resisting you. Okay. The reason so many fall is because they're focusing on resisting the devil. Wrong focus. Focus on submitting to God. Lord, I want you. Lord, I'll serve you. Lord, I want your way. All of a sudden, there's no devil to resist. You just did it. You just did it. See, that's how you resist the devil. You submit to God. You put your mind towards God. You draw nigh to God. Hallelujah. And then he will begin to work wonderfully in your life. And you will find that that relationship is the greatest thing in the whole wide world to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be cleansing your hands of anything that is not right according to God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. I'm going to close with this. Can I have a piano player? If we are wise, anybody in here want to be wise? I don't think anybody wants to be dumb. I don't want to be dumb. I mean, everybody wants to be wise. You know, be considered wise. If we are wise, we will do what Jesus said. Endure the cross and despise its shame for the joy that is set before us. To do this is to submit the whole pattern of our life to be destroyed and built again in the power of an endless life. And we shall find that it is more than poetry, more than sweet hymns or elevated feeling. The cross will cut into our lives where it hurts worst, sparing neither us nor our carefully cultivated reputation. It will defeat us and bring our selfish life to an end. The conquering cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole plan of God's glorious salvation, was to bring an end to the self-life and bring forth newness of life. But what we've got going on in these last days is the reason why Jesus Christ asked this question: will there be any faith when I return? Because the crossroad has been forsaken. And the crossroad is the only thing that will keep faith alive. For it is the way of life. The minute I start basing my decisions on what I want, what I like, what I want to do, I have strayed from the way. Because my decisions as a child of God, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. What is that? Well, that's on the cross with my Savior, listening to his every word, You see, that thief that was on that other cross, that day when Jesus died, he began railing Jesus just like the other thief did. But as time began to tick on and the sun quit shining, everything went dark and the earth began to shake, he changed his mind. And he repented of his railings. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What was that? That was a statement that he believed he was the Son of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, this is just how quick it can change too. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. What happened? No longer was that thief on his cross. That thief had put himself on Jesus' cross too. His heart was no longer his. It now belonged to Christ. Hallelujah. Now he was ready to suffer the consequences of his sins, yet knowing, today I'll be with him in paradise. He was ready to die out to himself and follow Jesus Christ. Had God miraculously taken him off his cross, he'd probably been one of the greatest preachers the world has ever known. Because from that point forward, he would have denied himself, took up his cross, and followed Jesus Christ. See, that day he had nowhere to go except to paradise. And so he took up his cross, denied himself, and followed Jesus right on into paradise. Bible never tells us that other thief took that path, but he had the same opportunity as that thief. Those other 9 lepers had the same opportunity as that one that came back, worshiped God, worshiped Christ. I don't know what crossroads you may be at in your life today, but there's only one path you have to choose, and it will be the right one. And that's the path of the cross. The path of submitting myself to God. The path of hearing what he has to say. And the path of following it through until it's done. And then just keep on, keeping on. And though in the path that he has shown us, until he comes again, and he will, to lead us into higher heights, deeper depths, greater understanding, greater victory, glory. For he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. That doesn't mean just in the times of trouble. That means every day. Every day. As we open up his word and we begin to meditate upon it and meditate upon him, he'll begin to show us wonderful things in the glorious kingdom of God. Hallelujah, which will continually take us farther and farther away from the things of this world. Glory, glory. It's the conquering cross. And when it's allowed to have its way in our lives, we become more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Stand with me if you would. God of heaven, hallelujah. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the grandeur of this plan of salvation, the things that you have provided for your people that will call upon your name, that will humble themselves before you, hallelujah, and give their lives unto you, God. Oh, Father in heaven, we rejoice, Lord, in your gospel. We rejoice in your good news. We rejoice, Lord, in that new creature in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the infilling of your Holy Ghost, God, and the opening up and the illuminating of your word. Thank you, God, for this glorious life in Jesus Christ, this abundant life in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord God, you know the needs of your people before we ever ask, and I ask you, God, to minister here this day. Lord, in each heart, each mind, each soul, Lord, let your spirit begin to quicken your word. Lord, let faith begin to rise. Lord God, let decisions begin to be made. Hallelujah, to follow after Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise our God. Hallelujah. These altars are open this morning. Let's close with a time of prayer around these altars, or find you a place to pray somewhere here in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. But let's think about the Lord. Let's meditate upon his word here this morning, and let's allow him, oh, to speak wonderful things to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. Hallelujah. As he so graciously can do.